Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. For those of you that gather with us physically right here in Tampa, we will be in resuming our services next Sunday. And we're looking forward to coming together. We will be serving Holy Communion, and we pray that all of the people in Central Florida in our area that would like to come participate with us as we count down to Christmas. Amen. And we celebrate the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, God's gift to us. That is called the unspeakable gift, hallelujah, that we might look again into the unsearchable riches of Christ as the scriptures declare them. That means we will search and search and search, and we will never come to an end of how rich we really are because of all that He has put in Him and put Him in us. Glory to God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and so we want to examine this treasure in more in depth, and we want to devote ourselves more and more to Him. Don't miss the reason for the season, which is Jesus this Christmas. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about that. Christmas, when God came down. Christmas, when God came down. You say, Pastor, isn't Christmas about Jesus? Isn't it about the babe in the manger? It certainly is. Amen. But that baby in the manger was God coming down. Amen. That He might go to the cross in the person of Christ. Now, this is a mystery. You say, Brother Venable, this is a mystery. That sounds like a title to a Hallmark movie, doesn't it? The Christmas Mystery. A plot that we can all, if you've ever watched Hallmark movies at Christmas, you know, the plot is awfully familiar. Amen. And they kind of follow the same pattern. But listen, this mystery of God becoming flesh, God becoming incarnate in flesh, God coming down in the person of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a mystery that whose plot was not predictable at all. In fact, it is such a mystery, it's hard to grasp. That's why 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Let me back up. I don't want to run through this because we're talking about Jesus here. Because if God was manifest in the flesh, where did that occur? When did that occur? It occurred in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Amen. It was prophesied that this would occur, and it occurred in the timing and in the place that God not only predicted that it would be. Amen. That when there's a prophecy, it means it will be brought to pass because God has said it. Hath He not said it? Will He not do it? Well, He did it. Praise God. Amen. When a virgin conceived and brought forth a child, thou shalt call His name Jesus, which means He'll save His people from their sins, and He shall be called Emmanuel, because Emmanuel being interpreted is God with us. So I want to back up and read that again. Amen. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This is Jesus we're talking about. Let me read it from the Amplified. And great and important and weighty, we confess, is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. He, God, was made visible in human flesh. Justified and vindicated in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, was seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. This is the mystery. What grace, what mercy, what love, that the very God of all creation would leave the splendor of heaven and come down into this fallen world to become one of us, yet without sin, and become one with us, and make us one with Him, and go to the cross and lay down His life, amen, that He might give us life eternal. Let me read about this in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, and verse 14. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And verse 14, "And the Word..." It's being identified here. "Listen, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, incarnate. Hallelujah. This one line, the entire Christmas story rests upon. Amen. The message of the birth of Christ, the Word, God's fullness, the second person of the Trinity sent by God as a message and a messenger of love and goodness. God's real, tangible, visible presence in the world, sent to dwell in flesh, to become human, and yet very God, to live among us, to speak our language so that we might receive Him and understand what God wants us to know about Himself and what God wants us to hear, and to know what was previously hidden. Listen to Matthew 1, 20 through 23. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." This is speaking of Joseph, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not unto take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." Oh, friend, this Christmas season, God came down in the person of His Son. You see, this mystery just grows and grows and grows. Amen. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one. So when you've seen me, you have seen the Father." Listen, a virgin conceiving, a child of the Holy Ghost, a supernatural conception, God incarnate in flesh, Son of Man, Son of God, simultaneously, Son of God, and God the Son. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, without controversy, amen. Great is the mystery of godliness. The Christ of Christmas is full of mystery, but He's also full of majesty. And it's crucial to our faith in this day of false teachers and false Christ to hold fast to the fact that Jesus Christ was and is and always will be God manifest in the flesh. Listen to 1 John 4, beginning with verse 1 through verse 5. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, that they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Jesus talked about that as an end time sign. Listen, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come, underscore this, in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, in other words, that God was incarnate in and through Jesus Christ, that God took on flesh. Amen. Every spirit that doesn't confess this, you see, many people confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh means that the Messiah was very God and very man. Many people believe that a good man was born in the Middle East, a great teacher, a prophet, a priest, but a virgin birth, an immaculate conception, God taking on flesh, Emmanuel, God with us? No way. Amen. And those who hold this view do not know the Christ of the Bible. But he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is greater than he, the devil and the spirit of lies that is in the world. We understand the mystery of Christmas because we believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, God incarnate, and thereby God with us, and through him, God in us. Hallelujah. Let me finish this full context. Amen. Listen carefully. Every spirit, verse 3 of 1 John 4, that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard it should come. Even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. Listen, so they that are of the world, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, that knoweth God heareth us. And that is not, listen, and that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, when I first read, he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world, of course it's the Holy Spirit. But he is the Spirit of truth, come to guide us into all truth, and to point to him who is the truth. And that is Jesus Christ, who declared, I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth among many. The truth. And I am the life. In him was life. Praise God. And it became the light of men. And this light is still shining into the darkness. And there's still a resistance to this light and life. And that is the prince of darkness, the spirit of Antichrist, who will be embodied in a person, in a man, when the Antichrist comes on the scene at the beginning of the tribulation period. But dear friend of mine, that spirit is already at work in the world. Every spirit that will not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, that the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was more than a good man. He was more than a great prophet. He was God come down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, the people who don't know the Christ of the Bible, they do not believe that he was very God and very man. And yet the Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee was the very God. He was with God at creation. That's why God said, let us. Amen. And that included the Holy Spirit. This is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let us. And he's speaking of Jesus, who was one with him, the second person of the Godhead, but one with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us make man in our image. And in the creation, the Word was made flesh, and the Word went into absolute activity by the Holy Spirit. When God said, let there be a firmament, the Holy Spirit manifest the universe. I'm going to tell you something right now. Amen. I'm trying to wrap my limited brain. My brain can never get wrapped around that great truth. Let there be a firmament, and bam, there was a firmament. This is the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest the Word of God. Hallelujah. To make known and to make real and to make tangible, to make visible and viable. And that's what he did with Jesus. Amen. When that child was conceived in the womb of Mary, God and man. Hallelujah. Praise God. This was no ordinary child. This was no ordinary person hanging on a cross. Hallelujah. This was God coming down, condescending to leave his throne in heaven, take on flesh in the person of Christ, come down, amen, and take our place on the cross. This is what blew away the theologians of old when they considered this was not just a good man dying for us. That would have been a great thing, that a good man, a great king even. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? That's enough to blow anyone away. When we were the ones that sinned against him, we were the ones that failed him, we were the ones that blasphemed him, we, in essence, were the rebels who cried for his blood and death. And yet, he went to the cross, stayed on the cross, paid our sin debt in full at the cross, so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. To wit, the scriptures declare, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Where did that reconciliation take place so we could be saved? It took place as Jesus was bleeding, dying, and suffering for our sins upon the cross. What blew away the early theologians was the fact that God came down, took on flesh in order to pay the debt that we owed him, so he would not be obligated by his holiness to judge us for our sin. This is something beyond anything that we could imagine. So if you're just looking at the symbols of this, the baby in the manger, of course, this is God made flesh. That's why they brought him gifts for a great king, not gifts for some poor shepherd and his teenage wife because they were poverty stricken and they were socially sensitive enough, you know, social activists and social warriors, that they could come and do this for them, the poor baby. Oh, I get so tired. Isn't it tiring? Oh, poor Jesus. Poor Jesus, poor Jesus. He's out there in a manger. He's out there in the cold. He's out there in such poverty. Poor, poor Jesus. This was very God in flesh. Even as this baby was dependent on his dad and his mom to raise him, to shelter him, to feed him, and yet he was very God and very man, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, what a mystery, and oh, what majesty. Praise God. Listen, this is so important because the spirit of Antichrist doth already work, and every spirit that will not confess that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God, yes, but more importantly, that He was God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, that God would condescend, that God Himself would take on flesh in the person of Christ to take our place so that He could forgive us our sins and be justified in doing so, because our sins were judged in His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, today. There's no mystery like this. Oh, no. Amen. And we will never fully understand it until we are made like Him and we begin to comprehend the incomprehensible. I'm going to tell you something. I've been teaching on these things, preaching on these things, declaring these scriptures for over 50 years of my life. Therefore, I have studied these scriptures over 50 years of my life. Amen, friend of mine. There's no one that can fully explain the inexplainable or can comprehend the incomprehensible. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, but we know the person, don't we, who showed us the Father, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to Colossians 2:8-9 while we're wrapping our head around this today. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Get this, verse 9, Colossians 2. Listen, for in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. That's why Jesus said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. For I and My Father are one today. Praise the Lord. Listen to the scriptures once again. The prophecies fulfilled in Christ. Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto Me to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, or literally from eternity. Make no mistake about it. This was no ordinary birth. This was no ordinary baby. This child, born of a virgin, was very God, whose goings have been from eternity. He had no beginning. His steps, oh, I like the song about Dottie Rambo years ago. His steps did not begin in Bethlehem, and they did not end at Calvary. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulders, and He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Emmanuel, you see, God with us, the Everlasting Father. It's amazing, since I and My Father are one. What a mystery, and yet what majesty. Amen. That He's the Everlasting Father while being the only begotten Son, because He was God in flesh. Hallelujah. Can you understand what is being said here? Amen. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, dear friend of mine, this means, this wonderful part here, it means astonishing, or extraordinary. Amen. They used it for acts of God that man cannot understand. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful wonder. We sing it in a song and we Jesus, what a wonder you are. What a wonder that Jesus was and is and always will be. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, this is the wonderful, wonderful truth of Christmas, that God would condescend and God would descend and God would come down and leave His throne in heaven, take on flesh in the person of Christ, take our place at an old rugged cross to pay our sin debt, because He loved us enough to give Himself in the only way that God could give Himself, and that is in that flesh part of Jesus who suffered and bled and died for our sins upon that old tree, that old rugged cross, on that old hill Golgotha, the hill of the dead, the hill of the skull. Oh, friend of mine, who am I? Who are you that a king would bleed and die for? That's enough to blow us away. Oh, friend, but who am I and who are you that God that created us and God that created the world and everything in it and God who created the universe would find a way to save us from ourselves, from Satan, and from our sin, and save us from our destruction? Who am I that God would take on flesh in the person of Christ, go to the cross, pay in full my sin debt and yours? Oh, this Christmas, let it be more than the symbols that we see. Let it be the revelation and the realization. For God so loved the world, you and me. Interject your name. For God so loved Bobby, Robert, Sue, Sam, Cynthia, Marilyn. For God so loved you and me that He gave His only begotten Son. Gave Him to lay in a manger? No. Gave Him to stay in a manger? No, He could save no one by being pure, holy, immaculate, supernatural, wonderful. But to grow into manhood, and at 33 years of old, to let them impale Him upon a cross, to nail Him to that cross, and to absorb the judgment of God, the wrath of God, by taking our sins upon Himself and taking our place upon the cross. Friend, this Christmas, let's bow and let's adore Him. Not just the babe in a manger where it all began, but the man who hung on the cross, who rose the third day, who ascended into heaven, who sat down at the right hand of God, and who is coming again to receive us unto Himself, His bride, His reward for Calvary. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I pray you'll look not only at the babe in the manger, but the man on the tree. You will come to Christ, repent of your sins, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen.